Bartle O'Hanlon, you're so welcome to the show.
Hi, Trina. How are you? Great to be here.
Very good. You're listening to an Irish accent, of course, today because we're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Where it all began for you.
Oh, yes, yes. And where it continues to happen for me.
Do you live in Ireland, Ardler, or are you in the UK?
I do live in Ireland. I lived in the UK for about 10 years in London, and then I moved back like about 20 years ago, but I kept, like, I commute, do you know what I mean? I'm over and back all the time.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of wrapping up a fairly long tour now where I was over and back literally every week.
So. Yeah, constant. Well, I know that you just did the Olympia Theatre, or the Three Olympia, I should say, but you're coming back. You've added dates on. Tell me about this stand-up show. I'm very intrigued. It was involving an alarming experience in a supermarket, which is the job that I absolutely hate doing most in the whole world.
I do a proper tour maybe once every 5 years or whatever, but I always do stand up. Like, you know, I'm always doodling, and, you know, you get up every morning like thinking, what is bothering me today? That's the beauty about stand up. You can kind of address it straight away, go into a club or whatever and do it. So the tour I've just sort of done, it's probably my favorite tour ever, in the sense that I just enjoy it more than ever. And it was going very well. So we just decided to add a few more dates in March, mostly in the UK. In fact, all of them are in the UK, apart from the Olympia at the end of March. So yeah. the jewel in the crown, if you like, we're just going to wrap it up in the Olympia again. Because, you know, I had a great night there a few weeks ago. And it's just been very enjoyable. And I don't know if that's an age thing or whatever, or just that I feel like, you know, I mightn't be doing this for the rest of my life, so I might as well enjoy it while it lasts.
So what happened in the supermarket that inspired you?
Well, no, I mean, there were so many little things. I mean, there was one little genuine incident, like where the door wouldn't open for me, and I started questioning my very identity. Like, I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but where, like, literally the automatic sliding doors wouldn't open. And I got very confused, and I got very embarrassed, actually. My confidence suffered a little bit because it was opening for everyone else. And it just, like, I'm not even making that up, you know, it even opened for a little pigeon. That evening I went home and took a good look at myself and going, like, who am I? What am I? And I suppose, like, you know, there was loads of little incidents like that around the same time where I literally started questioning who I am. And I don't know, again, if that's an age thing or what, but I think every stand-up show is about where you're at in your life. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's basically a man or a woman just grumbling about everything they see around them. And, you know, that is the beauty of stand-up. Like, you
have
can
you
sort
become
of
that person, Ardal? Because I feel like I've become that person in the last while. Like, I was getting on a bus there recently on O'Connell Street in Dublin, and a gang of lads came along and decided to skip the queue, and I absolutely lost my mind. And I was like, how have I become that person?
I know. I that happened to me one time at the airport a few years ago. It was during the Celtic Tiger years when the taxi queues used to be about, like, do you remember they used to be about a mile long?
Oh, yeah.
I remember one time I just got off, like, I was coming home from England. I'd been away for a few weeks. I was very tired and very grumpy. And normally I'd be a passive person, you know, like a lot of people, you just kind of grumble away to yourself. But I remember these businessmen kind of jumped the queue, and I just roared at them. And I was so proud of myself. And it was like, you know, it was like a proper intervention.
Yeah, I found my voice, finally.
Finally found my voice. And like everyone, you could see everyone was like really proud of me for standing up to the, you know, the business people. I'm not just complaining, you know, like I'm genuinely kind of trying to figure out, you know, who I am, how I got here. And like, I find it's quite a joyful show in a way. Like, I think I've always tried to create a kind of a giddy atmosphere at the shows. Do you know what I mean? A feel-good atmosphere. Even though, you know, you touch on very serious subjects, like just personal ones, but also, like, you know, the wider picture. But, you know, I've always tried to have like little surreal touches in my show and just kind of silly, really stupid stuff.
Your kids are growing up, aren't they now? Because, you know, you would get a lot of material, I would imagine, well, a lot of comics do, from the family life and the kids, that the things that the kids do almost.
Absolutely. My kids are all in their 20s now. And, you know, it's obviously a very different scenario. Like, it's they're all at home. Yeah, they're back home living the dream with mommy and daddy, you know. And, you know, even though it's great fun and it's chaotic, you know, I just wish they'd buy their own gin, to be honest with you.
We just don't think your kids are going to be back in the box room. Sure, you don't, but God love them. What can they do?
No, you really don't. And then, like, you know, your daughter be like, be saying, "How did you know it was me that took the gin?" Well, because your fake tan is all over the bottle. Like, you know,
have you got one of them? Oh, he's got one of them. The lashes, the fake tan on, all the towels and the sheets destroyed.
Yeah, no, but they're great. I mean, it is great having them around, you know. But they come and go, like they're coming and go. But it's brilliant. Yeah.
Can I bring up something from many, many, many years ago? So we actually met, I can't believe I'm saying this to you. We met years ago and I was doing an interview with you. I can't remember exactly where it was, but it was outside. It wasn't in a radio studio. So I had my little recording equipment with me, you know, and we did our chat and you were very good to do the chat with me. We finished our chat and I looked down. I might have only been starting off in radio, actually, Ardal. Like, we could be talking Father Ted times, like, and I looked down at the end of our interview when we'd wrapped up, and I needed this piece of audio. I needed this to make an impression in the radio station, and I hadn't recorded it.
That's a Father Dougal type thing to do.
And I looked at you and I said, "Ardal, I am so sorry. Something's after happening to my thing." Well, I tell you what, the look that you gave me. You redid the whole interview for me. You gave me the same answers again. You were pretty disgusted with me, but you still did it, so I appreciate that.
I hope we don't have to do this one all over again
away. No, I can see it recording there in the background, Ardal. We're good.
These things happen. Very good.
But I might not have had a job only for the fact you did that for a second time for me.
The whole career is all thanks to me.
All thanks to you. Come here, there's so much going on in Ireland, obviously, at the moment, between the football team, and we're so excited that we might get into the World Cup. And of course, you did Fran and all. I mean, are you as excited as the rest of us at this point? Are you a football fan?
Yeah, I'm a massive football fan. No one saw this coming. It's just amazing. I love all sports. As a kid, like, I did nothing else but play soccer. That was my dream, to be a footballer. Most of my childhood was spent in the garden, like, on my own a lot of the time. Just didn't even have a ball a lot of the time, but kicked it into the neighbor's garden, never got it back. But anyway, it's literally my ambition for next year is that Ireland will qualify for the World Cup. Like, I'm not as concerned about anything in my own life. Like, that would be, it would be the dream. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you must remember.
I hate that it's in America, though.
You what?
I hate that it's in America, you know, like with Trump and everything else. And I see Ronaldo, like, even though he was sent off against Ireland and he was supposed to serve a 3-match ban and he was supposed to miss the two first matches of the World Cup, like, they've already made an exception for him, you know. They've given him a free pass, you know. So it's disgusting. But anyway,
I didn't even think about the fact that it's in America. Yeah, that is a bit of a bummer. But sure, look, if we got to the World Cup, wouldn't it be magic, though? I mean, I'm just thinking of Italia '90 all over again, and the best time that we had. You know, no one knows what we took. Well, if they're any younger than us, they don't know what we're talking about when we say Italia '90.
I know, but they are. Yeah, and they are some of the happiest memories, like sporting memories. Like, for people who don't totally get sport, like, it just taps into a great kind of, you know, a great sense of pride, a great sense of who you are and everything else. Like, you know, I would have to say, like, apart from, like, sort of wedding and children being born and stuff like that, like, I mean, sporting memories are the greatest. They're the best. Mm. Like, Italia 90, USA 94, you know. It was a great tournament, 2002. Yeah, look, I mean, you know, they're like, it would be so amazing for a new generation to create those memories for them. I mean, there's just nothing like, I was there, like, welcoming that team home in 1990 in Dublin. I was one of, like, the million people who congregated on Dame Street, like, to welcome home, you know, Jack Charlton's army at the time. Like, it was,
you would
just
have been
brilliant.
What, in your early 20s around then? What a time.
Yeah, I would have been. Yeah, 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 that's right. Thanks for reminding me.
Look, I was there as well, Ardal. It's not like I'm making you feel like a dinosaur. I was there too.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it'd be amazing if that happened. You mentioned there about you'd be kicking around the ball in the garden, sometimes with nobody else. So you could have been a professional footballer only for your acting and your comedy took off. And thank God that it did.
Yeah, I was very lucky to find something that I loved doing, like, from a fairly early age. I was kind of stubborn, you know, in a way that, like, I resisted going into the, you know, trying to get a proper job, as it was known, as it's still known, I suppose. You know, I kind of stuck at it, even though there was no obvious career path. You know, for a young comedian in Ireland in the 1990s, like, there was no obvious way of doing it. Do you know what I mean? Like, there were no real clubs to play or anything. So you had to make it up as you went along yourself. And there was a few like-minded people. And we just, like, you know, we had a great time. Like, you know, we didn't have any money or anything, but we had a great time. And eventually it paid off, you know. Yeah. But it took patience and it took a certain amount of self-belief. But, you know, and then I went to London and things started happening a bit for me over there. But
was it Father Ted that really was the kind of the thing that started it all properly?
I suppose it kind of did. Like, but yeah. I was doing well as a stand-up anyway. And, you know, my expectations weren't high, you know what I mean? You were just going from day to day, night to night, like just gig to gig. And, you occasionally get a lucky break like Father Ted and stuff like that, which definitely kind of propelled you onto the next level or whatever.
Was it very clear to you that that character, Father Dougal, it was very clear that that character Dr. Dougal, was it very clear that the character, Father Dougal, was going to be the way he was? Like, or did you kind of come up with that? Or did they tell you he needs to be this kind of an agent?
They always liked me. Like, they liked what I was doing in my stand-up at the time. And they were saying I remember them saying to me that might be, you know, that they were working on this character, they were writing this script, and that one of the characters would suit me, I think, based on what I was doing in stand-ups. So then, when it comes to doing it, you just bring whatever you think is right. And then, you know, they'll very quickly tell you if you're going wrong. Do you know what I mean? Like, I always pinch myself like that I ended up in that part, and, you know, that, and then that it became the popular sort of show it did and everything else. So, like, it's, you know, there's no exact science to it. Like, I'd love to tell you that, yes, I knew exactly what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have a clue.
Very unique. Also coming up in the new year, the Derry Girls gang getting back together again for Netflix.
That's right. There's a really promising show called How to Get to Heaven from Belfast, which is written by Lisa McGee, the author of the Derry Girls series. And it's a slightly different type of show. Like, it's a kind of a crime kind of caper, if you like. And I have a little kind of a cameo role in it, which was an awful lot of fun to do. I mean, I think that's coming out in February on Netflix.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. But I play a sort of a hotel manager who's quite passive aggressive, and I think there's a murder mystery element to it, and the girls, it's three kind of women in their 30s who end up getting involved in this murder mystery investigation, and they end up in my hotel for a little while.
Okay, very good. Well, we'll keep an eye.
There's a lot of them. Yeah.
How to Get to Heaven from Belfast. Well, we'll keep an eye out for that on the 28th of March at the Three Olympia in Dublin. Go see Ardal O'Hanlon, because this is going to be the end of that particular tour. And then what are you going to be doing after that, Ardal? Will you take a rest for a while?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I'm writing at the moment. Like, I have a novel coming out in April, and I am already kind of working on the follow-up novel to that one. So so it's going to be a busy year, but I won't be on the road as much. So I'll be on the road for the month of March, and then I'll be chained to my desk for a little while after that.
Well, you might be kind enough to come back on and talk to us about the novel when that's out.
Absolutely, Trina, I would love to.
Thanks so much. And Ardal, thanks so much for doing two interviews for me back in the day 20 years ago when
You're
I messed
very
up
welcome.
Thanks a lot, take care.
No worries.
It's Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.